Abraham's faith did not weaken. Even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this, he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God.
Good morning. It's good to see you all. And if you're visitors here for the first time, I hope you feel relaxed and comfortable. And yes, you'll enjoy learning from God's word together. Everyone has a faith journey. Some of us are working out who we can trust, who we can rely on, who we can depend on, who is worthy of our faith. At Kings Park Community Church, we believe that Jesus Christ, God's Son, is the one that we should follow. He's the one that we can trust and believe in. And the Bible shows us the way that we can relate with God in a very real way, every day of our lives, no matter what we experience. So before we get into God's word, let's pray and just commit our time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I pray that you might be able to speak this morning, speak into people's lives, and that your word might transform people's lives, and that we might learn to trust and depend on you and develop a really strong faith in you to help us as we live our lives here. In Jesus' name, amen. So the last few weeks, we've been looking at Abraham, and we've seen how he's handled disappointments. It's his challenges that he's gone through, working out his relationship with God, with Sarah, his wife, with his nephew, Lot. And we've seen how he's led his family and his household, how he's worked with others and with those around about him. We've seen his mistakes, his challenges, his trust issues and his successes. The thing I like about him was he was real. He had real flaws and he had real weaknesses. Yet, he had an intimate relationship with God that was to impact people all over the world and throughout time. And his life has still an important message for each one of us here this morning. The Apostle Paul had a real spiritual rags-to-riches story. He was one of the most influential Jews of his time, and he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And now we read in Romans chapter 4, Paul is going all out to show God's strong desire to have a right relationship with us and how that can be achieved. And what he's doing is Paul is writing out an argument for the Jews. They're following rules and rituals and laws that we can try as hard as we like, but we just can't get it right with God. But Paul's saying God has always shown us how we can get right with God through Abraham. So in the first three chapters of Romans, Paul's explaining that no one can be right with God under our own steam. And so the first thing is Gentiles, the people who are not Jews, they have all of creation revealed to them. God's strength, his creativity, his power and majesty presented on a plate, and yet people have rejected him. And the Jews are in an even worse position because they've been given the law, they've been given prophets, they've been given feasts and festivals to remember God, and yet they fall short as well. And all this bad news is overshadowed. It pales into insignificance when it comes to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has come and made a way of us being able to be made right with God. Jesus' death on the cross deals with God's righteous anger towards our sin and the sinner. The thing I like about that is God doesn't compromise his holiness to make us right with God. And so the Lord Jesus' death and resurrection means that we can tap into that righteousness that Jesus has given us, and we can be declared right with God. And through faith in Jesus Christ, it can make us right with God without law keeping, without rituals, without being worried about how we interact. So Paul's writing this letter, and the Jews would have had their minds blown. This was so far out of left field for the Jewish mindset that Paul uses Abraham, the father Abraham, the founding member of the Jewish nation. He uses Abraham as his key witness point to being right with God. So we're going to look at Abraham being right with God. The first thing is, being right with God is not based on our performance. If we were to go down to Woolies at Quaker's Court there, stand out the front and say, "Are you a good person?" What do you think the response would be? I think 98% of the time, the response would be, "Yes, I'm a good person. I don't lie. I don't cheat. I pay my taxes." Oh, I might have put a little error in the last one, but I pay my taxes on time. I haven't killed anyone. I'm all good. The thing is, those people are judging themselves on their own values, not on God's values. And God has declared that we all fall short. And we just can't perform good enough to be right with God. When people work hard, they get their wages. They earn and they receive something at the end of the day. The employees at Scott Technology, which I run, they don't come to me on payday and say, beg and grovel and say, "Oh, please, Steve, I really appreciate our wage for this month because, we've tried really hard to work really hard. And just thank you for the privilege of..." We've got an employee here. He's given me the look. "Thank you for the privilege of working here in Scott Technology with all these sticky, smelly resins that just gunk up everything and you can't even clap because your hands are stuck together. It's been a real privilege to be here working in this dirty, horrible factory. And so I'd really appreciate if you could give me a wage." And that's not how it works. No, they have earned it. They've put their effort in for the week. They've filled the cupboards. They've achieved their goals. And they get what they deserve at the end of the day. But that's what the Jews were like. The Jews were saying, "I'm a good Jew. I dress right. I eat right. I avoid the wrong kinds of food and I eat right. I go to the synagogue. I pray. I work right. I play right. I do everything by the book. I deserve to be right with God." But the Bible says that's not God's way. It's not about being good or bad. It's about being right with God. It's not God's way. It says Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. Now, counted, in other versions, it uses the word reckoned or credited. It's a bookkeeping term. So if you put effort in, you get a wage at the end of the day, and it evens out at the end of the day. The Bible tells us when we sin, we can't work our way out of that. But the Lord Jesus Christ comes along and evens up the record book. We come under Christ's paying our dues at the end of the day. So at the ledger at the end of the day is paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. So what did Abraham discover? He discovered that he believed God and he didn't need explanations. He didn't need reasons or justifications or he didn't ask God, how are you going to do this? Tell me what your plan is and let's work on it together. Let's brainstorm, let's tweak it, and we'll find a better way. Abraham believed God and that God would follow through on what he said he would do, and he went that way. Now, he did try and manipulate things along the way. He didn't understand how God would actually make things happen. So he did try and manipulate the outcome in some ways. But it wasn't the way God revealed his way. It's not based on us being good or bad, our performance, or how much effort we put in, or how perfect we think we are. But being right relationship with God is the key thing. Abraham started out as an idolater. He was a liar. He was a manipulator all through his faith journey. And God kept revealing himself and showing him the right way he should go. It wasn't the fact that he had faith, but it was the object of his faith that was important. And he chose to put his faith in a heavenly Father who kept his promises. So it's not how well Abraham performed, it was how God would perform in that situation. It's not based on rituals. Steve Smith is an Australian cricketer, and he's known for his funny little rituals before he faces a ball. And so I was talking to Ruben, and he said, yeah, he does these really quickly before he faces each ball. He touches his right pad, left pad, touches his box. If you don't know what that is, you can see someone afterwards. And he then taps the ground in front of him. Then he taps two times, looks up, taps another two times, then looks up, and then he's ready to face the ball. And it must be a mindset thing that he's got, that unless he does these things, you know, he won't be able to perform well. He's got to do the rituals. And sometimes we've got little rituals that we put into place in our lives. Like, you might not step on the cracks on the pavement as you're walking along. Or you might feel as though you've got to wash your hands every 5 minutes. Or some people love to touch every fence post as they walk down the street. They've got these little things that say, if I don't do this, just something bad might happen. It's sort of like a subliminal assurance that something good will happen if I do these things. Rituals give us a sense of security, an assurance that things will work out. And the Jews had thought they had this marketplace cornered when they had the ritual of circumcision. And so Paul addresses this with the Jewish nations, and he said, when it comes to circumcision, we follow this symbolic sign that we belong to God. Our nation belongs to God because we've got this act of circumcision, which is a sign that we belong to God and that God will bless us through it. And Paul knocked this one for six. So Paul asked, actually tell me, when did Abraham actually get circumcised? Was it before he was declared right with God or after he was declared right with God? In Genesis 17:24, it says, Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised. That's 13 years after he was declared right with God. He was declared right as an uncircumcised man. That means Abraham can be the father of the uncircumcised as well as the circumcised. Those who have the same faith as the uncircumcised Abraham. That's what Paul said. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 19, it says this about the ritual of circumcision. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what's important, is what counts. You know, we believe, or the Bible tells us, that circumcision is a spiritual thing that happens when we acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's a putting off of our old self and putting our old selves to death. Just like Jesus died on the cross, he was buried and then rose again. And the fact that we now have new life in Jesus Christ with our old self put aside. Rituals don't make us right with God any more than Steve Smith's rituals can guarantee that the next ball he hits will make him give him a six. Now, let me see. I've got in here, here we go. I've got here my driver's license. Now, this just isn't any driving license. This is a gold class driving license, hence the gold strip over the top. I've got this driving license because I passed a written test. I just passed the questions that I needed to pass to get through. I might have missed up on one question, but I got past. And then I did a practical, and I proved to my instructor that I could drive relatively safely. I did stuff up on my reverse parking, but, you know, he let me off with that, which was a relief for me. I thought I'd failed right from the outset. And so I proved where I lived. I had to give proof of ID and the fact that I was a resident here in Australia. And I paid my fees. And they gave me this little card to say that I had fulfilled the law. Isn't that great? I've got this to say I'd fulfilled the law. Just like the Jews. They fulfilled the law, but they couldn't keep it 100% of the time. In any one period of space, they say, well, I'm a Jew, I do the rituals, I do everything that's required of me, but I can't keep it 100% of the time. I was on the phone call to someone midweek on the hands-free, and they said to me, what's that beeping in the background? And I had to admit, oh, that's the car telling me that I'm just slightly over the speed limit and I need to slow down. Because Katrina likes it when I don't get speeding tickets. And so she's put that on the car and as a reminder that I'm doing the wrong thing and I need to slow down. So while I fulfilled the law at the examination and the practical exams, I can't keep the law 100% of the time. I fail. I fall down. The law tells me in my back of my mind, I'm always fearful that the law is going to catch me out. And so when it comes to the law, there's fear and there's anxiety about not being 100% right, and I'm going to pay the dues for it. But the good news is that Jesus Christ has fulfilled the law, and he's kept it 100% of the time. And we can come under his license to be right with God, because Jesus is right with God 100% of the time. I fail from time to time, but I'm declared righteous because of my relationship with God. In 4:16 it says, "So the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift, and we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses. If we have faith like Abraham's, the father of all who believe." Being right with God is not based on our performance, not based on our rituals that we observe, or the law that we try to keep. Being right with God is based on faith. Knowing God, realizing that God is present and active in our lives, and the fact that he desires a relationship with each one of us. We need to acknowledge our sin and realize we can't be right with God through our own efforts. We need to repent of our sins. Now, repenting is doing a U-turn, deciding not to live life my way anymore, but deciding to live life God's way. See where God will lead. This is my faith journey, discovering how God will meet my needs daily. And I'm trusting on God every step of the way. And I fail from time to time, but I'm discovering to go God's way is in my best interest. Believe that Jesus Christ has dealt with my sin. And in faith, live in faith, in obedience to God. You know, now I'm free to say I'm free not to do the wrong things that I'm used to doing. I'm free from that law that condemns me. I'm free not to in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Abraham is our faith model. Abraham is important to our Christian hope. Our faith is based on the fact that Jesus was raised back to life, showing that God's justice was fulfilled and not compromised. We can be declared right with God. And the fact that we can be a new creation in Christ. Now, Abraham didn't just passively agree with God. His faith had wheels. When God said, "I want you to move," he moved. Abraham's actions showed that he trusted God. And when God said you were going to have a baby, Abraham was persistently believing that God would come through. In verse 20, it says, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. Our memory verse, a scripture at schools that we're learning at the moment when I go into school, is Numbers 23, verse 19, and it says this in the CEV version. God is no mere human. He doesn't tell lies or change his mind. He always keeps his promises. What a powerful verse that is. What a verse that just assures me that God is there and helping me through. Verse 23 of Romans 4, when God counted Abraham as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too. It assures us that God is also count us as righteous if we believe him, the one who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins and was raised to life to make us right with God. So what have we learned about God through this passage? We can learn that God strongly desires a relationship with you. He's reliable and trustworthy and dependable. No matter how bad or tough our lives get, we can rely and depend on God. He gave us the Lord Jesus Christ to pay our debt and to make us right with him. And he accepts those who believe, act, and trust in God. Where are you in your faith journey? Can you say that you are right with God? If you don't have that assurance of being right with God and you'd like to accept God's free grace offer, then you can talk to the ushers and they'll direct you. Maybe you can talk to Pastor Chad after the service or come and speak to me. We'd love to talk to you about that. But the fact is, the Lord Jesus Christ desires, strongly desires, you to be right with him. He wants to do life together with you.